Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy. That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah. Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
All right, Chaz, welcome back to The Grit.
3 weeks in a row.
Dude.
We are the Dale, what's his name? Why can't I remember that dude's name?
Dale Webster.
We are the Dale Websters of podcasting.
We really are. You're the Dale Webster of not drinking and the Dale Webster of surfing.
I got three Dale Websters going on right now. Three Ironman streaks.
Crazy, dude.
Yep.
How's your surf streak going?
My surf streak is unfortunately ended, but for happy reasons. The wind has been too dang good this week. The sailing wind. So I've been sailing.
Okay. Oh, wow.
Yeah.
I didn't know you were a sailor.
Sailing is the honest to goodness greatest thing ever.
Since when?
I really got hooked. Probably, when did I get hooked on sailing? Probably a year ago.
So it's fairly new.
Fairly new. Yeah.
Do you have a boat?
My best friend has a boat.
That's the best way to do it.
Yeah. It's epic.
Who wants to own a boat?
I mean, it's rough. It's a lot of work to own a boat. But sailing, I'll tell you, I don't want to talk about it because I don't want to. I'm a full-on sailing Val. But yeah, love it.
What about it?
It's crazy physical. It's like there's always something that goes massively wrong that you have to figure out. Like my whole life, my brain has been, you know, if something's wrong, I can't solve it. I'm not good at finding solutions for most things, right? Like if this is broken, I'll call somebody to fix it or whatever. When you're out on the boat, you've got to fix every problem yourself. And yeah, the problems, it's taught my brain. I think it's rewired my brain that, oh wait, I actually can, I have a right side to my brain too. I'm not just purely left brained, right? Like I can untie this knot under crazy duress, or I can figure out how to get the main, you know, untangled off the mast or whatever, all the different stuff like that makes it, oh man. And then it's just you wake up so sore.
Yeah.
And we've had some good stressy ones too, some good stressy sails.
Fascinating.
Yeah, love it.
I know a couple of months ago you sailed down to Cabo, right?
Exactly.
We never talked about it on air, but I think you wrote about it.
Yep. Yeah.
That's really interesting to me. I hear people talking about hunting similarly, you know, where it's kind of like, it's not really, it is man versus nature, man versus the animal, but it's really man versus man.
Completely.
It's like you just kind of confronting your limitations
and having
to push back.
And having to push through. I mean, that's, I guess, the same with hunting. I'm not a hunter, but I would imagine, you know, you're out deep wilderness.
Yeah.
And there's no point where you can actually throw your hands up and say, okay, you know, I did the best I can do. There's no such thing as the best you can do. The best you can do is fixing the problem.
We're so soft.
We're the softest.
You and I are the epitome of like Southern California.
Soft.
Grew up middle class and just had every little luxury and accommodation.
Soft.
Super soft. Yeah. And so now we're forced to go like recreate these normal hunter-gatherer tasks that people have had to do throughout humanity.
Sure,
know?
For sure. It is.
Just to feel some semblance of masculinity.
Completely. Yeah, that's, I guess, what sailing is for me, is like a recapture so of funny. Masculinity.
Are you going to buy a boat at some point?
No.
I'm tempted.
No, but I'll go in on the next boat. I'll go in with buddies on the next one. Yeah.
Last episode we recorded was with Derek, and afterwards I recorded like an hour long form one-on-one interview that I'll publish in a couple of months, and he talked about owning a boat.
Yeah,
Derek, are you familiar with this?
Of course. Derek had a water taxi operation.
How funny is that?
Epic. Totally epic.
Dude, I, first of all, didn't know that story. And secondly, none of it made sense to me. I'm like, wait, why did you want to do it? And he didn't really have a good reason. And he had no training, no understanding, and just dumped money into
it. It's absolutely a beautiful story. Did he, did he get into it on the podcast? Okay, yeah. Well, it'll be a treat for listeners when it comes up. It's a great story.
So funny.
Yep.
Yeah, so, dude, I would love to be into boats. I think you have to grow up with boats. Or, like, you don't just get into it randomly.
No. Well, and thankfully, my friend did grow up boaty and with boats, and so I've been allowed to be a Val and like come on at Val speed, you know, and I'll be a sailing Val the rest of my life. But now I know, you know, infinitely more than I knew a year ago, and I will know infinitely more, you know, in another year.
Yeah, good. I mean, that's how people talk about surfing too.
Yeah,
the way that you described that
Val,
when
Val
you hear
life.
New people get into it. We, first of all, I think maybe last time we forgot to give Album a shout out.
I can't
believe we recorded
it.
Here. I know, we blew it. So shout out, Album is hosting us yet again.
Most beautiful surf shop in the world.
AlbumSurf.com. You've seen their boards everywhere. Matt has a loner board for me downstairs.
Ooh.
I know, I'm psyched.
You're lucky. I didn't think Matt was going to be here. I was going to bring my loner back and exchange it for another one because I'm ready.
Is it the one that you borrowed a year ago?
Exactly. But I'm totally ready. I have my shoulder strong enough now. My pop is back. I have grown out of my 6'7" that you forced me on.
How'd you feel about that board, though? What's your...
Loved it. Okay. Yeah, it was great. I mean, it did exactly what I needed it to do. It got me back to back into surf shape, more or less.
Good. Derek's great. All the feedback from our episode with Derek was super positive.
So I think I was going to propose to you, we got to figure out a time where I think we should get Derek on every week. I think we'll have Derek call
totally
in.
I'd be totally down with that. Should he do... I mean, the problem is the call in, if the quality isn't crystal clear, it just feels not like it's not even worth
so
it.
Maybe,
so maybe a short
maybe
segment?
We have a Derek segment.
What should we design the segment to be? What's his strength?
I mean, Derek's strength is, this is a good question. Derek has many strengths. He's an opinionated man, so, I mean... What? I mean, let's throw it out to the listeners.
I know, we'll do a poll, Instagram poll.
Yeah, what would the listeners like from Derek Riley?
Yeah.
If we can have a 50, or if we do have a 15-minute The Grit with Derek every episode, what do people want Derek to talk about?
He can outshine us.
Oh my goodness.
In every category, so I feel like,
yep.
I don't know, say anything, and that's, he'll be good at it. By the way, speaking of Instagram, you're never going to believe. You know how sophisticated those algorithms are.
Yeah.
You speak about something in your home, and then you look at your phone 3 minutes later, and there's an ad for it. This is the most sophisticated one I've ever gotten. Check this ad out.
Did this just... Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. I'm actually going to buy this. It's for the listener. It's the Raised by Society. Raised.by.society. Do you follow them?
No.
So it just this popped
this
up as an ad.
It just completely popped up as an ad.
It is a yellow beanie, the exact same, it looks like, yellow beanie that Ashton Goggins was wearing almost 6 months ago. Wait, was it a year ago? No, 6 months ago.
I don't know.
Yeah, it was in January.
January? Okay, yeah.
6 months or whatever it is ago at the Surf Expo when he and I entered the ring for a heavyweight bout.
How amazing
is
that? It is
completely
amazing.
And
it's rolled up to the exact same degree as
his. I mean, it looks exactly like his.
It is Ashton's beanie. The only thing that's different is it's not askew.
I am.
In this picture, it's perfectly level.
Oh, yeah, but I mean, I would.
Ashton's would be tilted.
If they tilted it.
It would have been like, is this a joke?
You're going to get that soon.
How great is that?
You're going to get the tilted picture.
By the way, how's your not drinking going?
It's good.
Have you had a drink?
Yes.
Okay.
But that's okay.
You're going to go the whole month with no alcohol.
Sure, but there was provisions for 3 days built in. So I have to go. I've used those 3 days already. So now I have to go the rest of the month without a drink.
You had a floating 3 days that you could just pick whenever?
Exactly.
What the heck, dude? That's not...
Well, because the will part is done. Now I don't itch for one anymore. So I'm fine. I'm through it.
Dude, you're not even halfway through the month.
Yeah, but I'll go and I, like, the start of it, you know, would get to be 11 a.m. and I would really start scratching.
Yep.
Now I'm fine. Now I punch through. I think about it maybe like 5-ish and think, wouldn't a cocktail be nice? And then think, yep, but can't have one.
How do you feel without it?
The exact same.
Really?
Yeah.
So why are you doing it?
Just, I think.
Just to try?
On principle. Just willfully pushing through. I mean, yeah, I was drinking, especially with finishing up the book.
Yeah.
I was drinking way too much where I needed a break.
But if you're not feeling any health benefit.
Yeah, I don't feel any health benefit.
Huh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Just the same. Just the same when I wake up in the morning as I did before.
All right, bummer. Yeah. Sad to hear that. I was going to sabotage you, actually.
And say
like,
what?
Just like offer you a glass of water.
Oh, yeah.
But like spike it.
I mean, that'd be
just
okay.
Just to ruin your...
My other Dale Webster? See, that Dale Webster's already off. Already failed that one. I failed surfing and I failed drinking. So now I guess the only Iron Man streak I have is the podcast.
3 weeks in a row.
Yep.
I'm going to ruin it, though. I got to go out of town. Ooh. We could be here next Friday, but the following Friday, I'm going to be out of town.
Where are you going?
Europe.
Ooh, exciting.
Yeah.
For vacation?
Super psyched.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, a little bit. Okay. My younger brother is in the military, in the army, and he's stationed outside of Venice.
Wow.
So we're going to do like...
How'd you get stationed outside of Venice?
I don't know, dude. That was a dream for sure. Yeah.
What the heck?
And he's been there for like 2 years. So I'm going to do a week in Portugal and then a week in Italy.
What boards are you bringing?
I'm not.
Whoa.
Yeah. Portugal, traveling with my mom.
Portugal, no surf.
So Donald Brink, who's another surfboard shaper, happens to be there at the same time. So I'm going to link up with him and then I could borrow boards, okay. I'm sure. But I'm traveling with my mom. Like, she wanted to go see my little brother. So yep. I'm like, oh, I'll go with you and do all the driving and navigating and that sort of stuff. So then it's like, well, if my mom... I would love to just surf, but it's not as easy as just surfing.
No.
It's then like, all right, well, what are the tides doing? Oh, mom, let's go check this nook. No, let's go to this one. Like, it's too much.
Have you surfed Portugal before?
Yeah.
It's a dreamy little destination.
Dude, it's honestly like one of my favorite countries, not only in terms of surf, it's all of it. You know, it's the food and the people and the wine and all that sort of stuff. That's the thing, dude. There's never a good month for me not to drink because there's always things like this.
Well, that's what
I have to drink.
Sure, but that's why you bake in a 3 floating days.
Yeah.
Because then when you need to, you can. Like, no month has more than, you know, I mean, no September. That's why it's also pegged at September, right? Like, no September has more than 3 days where you actually need to drink. I mean, sure, if you're traveling Europe, then you need to drink every day. Granted.
See, I would do the no drinking month in February. The shortest month.
So there's another, theoretically, this plan has 3 no drinking months a year. So it'll be September, February, and I think it's actually January because after Christmas, all that.
Yeah.
So I think it was September, January, maybe March or April. There's one pre-summer.
All right. And what?
Maybe it's May.
What plan is this that you're following?
Nothing. Just a
completely manufactured.
Yeah, just because.
All right. Wow. Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
all right. Let's get into
an exciting week
of
surf action.
Really? What's been most exciting for you?
A lot of it. I mean, I think for me, the most exciting thing has been all the rumors swirling around Lemoore, the Kelly Slater surf ranch in Lemoore, California.
Broke it.
Yeah. I broke it.
What's the rumor?
So the initial rumor that I heard from a great couple sources I heard the rumor and I thought, this is absolutely epic. Then I thought, wait a second, this is something that I'm going to need to sit on and get a little more information on because it was so extreme. Which the original rumor was that Surf Ranch, this will be the last year of the Freshwater Pro or of any professional contest or CT level contest at Surf Ranch. Furthermore, the Surf Ranch is coming offline. They're going to mothball it. And, you know, that's that. It's a wrap. And they fired everybody. They closed down the Solana Beach office and fired everybody down there. That was the rumor. So got immediate, I won't say pushback from the WSL, but this must be fixed in a retraction sort of like serious email or not email, but serious call. It's like, are you kidding me? What, like, you tell me what part of this rumor is not true. The WSL has great corporate speak where they can talk around stuff. And so it was the source from the WSL then said, you know, none of this is true, more or less. Like, we are proud of Surf Ranch. You know, it's a ongoing concern, or a going concern that, you know, it's working, everybody loves it, blah, blah, blah. You know, all the right things. But I was real dubious because the first sources were so, you know, such good sources. So real cockeyed about the whole thing. And then come to find out the next day, confirmation from another two sources that for sure they will never do another CT contest there again. The surfers hate it. It's finished as an event, but it is also the only part of the WSL's operations that actually makes money as a corporate retreat, etc. So they'll keep it open as a corporate retreat. The Solana Beach office, I'm uncertain about that. There was a lot of doublespeak from the WSL in terms of the source said we are staffing up, but I was pressing him on, but where are you staffing up? Like, obviously I don't think that the, you know, Kelly Surf Technology, the Kelly Slater Wave Company or whatever it's called, is going out of business. What I said specifically was the Solana Beach office is closing because that's where they have their headquarters. Did you know that?
Yeah.
Isn't that weird that it's in Solana? Which it totally makes sense that they would shutter that office. The claim was they're still not shuttering it, but I have absolutely that. Why in the world would you have an office down there and an office in Santa Monica? Why not just move the whole operation up to Santa Monica?
Well, I think there's a couple. I think doesn't American Wave Machines have an office there too?
Has it there too?
So it's, I think it's just an office for engineers.
But it's big. I mean, it's a big office, and sources again said everybody there more or less was laid off,
right,
and shifted up to Santa Monica. So I believe that part is true.
Okay,
for sure, I believe it's true that this is it, and that the fact that the pros hate it, I thought was the interesting twist.
So let's back up a little bit. Number one, what's your journalistic obligation to print the retraction? Like, what do you have to vet out with a rumor before you go to print? And then secondly, if the WSL calls and asks for the retraction, are you obligated to honor them? Where's the truth?
So for me, my own personal journalistic morals are, if I hear a rumor that's, you know, has solid sources, then I run with it, right? Like, I won't run
Who's to say solid sources? That's your own metric completely. That you're running?
If somebody theoretically knows, or I feel if I had to reveal, which I've never once revealed a source, I never will reveal a source, but for me, I'll run it if I told this person that this was the source, they would say, oh, well, you know, that makes sense. It's not just some guy on the street who heard something.
Yeah.
It's somebody either directly involved or with direct knowledge. So that's the bar that I jump over.
Okay.
Now, when the WSL calls, so the WSL is wildly, crazily secretive and silly, which is why I'll print rumor from good sources without going to the WSL first, because the WSL will always obfuscate. I said it.
Obfuscate?
It's such a hard word to say.
That's not right either, though. Say again?
I think it's obfuscate. Obfuscate.
No.
Obfuscate. The WSL will always throw smoke. Obfuscate. The WSL will
obfuscate.
There, you got it.
Obfuscate.
Yeah. The WSL will throw so much smoke and doublespeak and backspeak and cross-speak, and they're really, really good at that. I don't know. I have to assume that the secrecy and the wild lockdown on information, because there's no point or reason, who cares, right? Like, it's professional surfing, but it must come from Dirk Ziff. I think Dirk Ziff is by nature a wildly secretive person, and I feel the WSL has taken that on as its DNA to be insanely secretive to a point that's just silly, right? Where they cannot say the truth ever. It's just there's smoke, you know, and of course I understand that there's investors involved, and yeah, there's reasons why they do that, but it gets to the point to be silly so I'll just run. If I have a decent rumor, I'll run. When the WSL calls me for retraction, I'll really pepper who calls with, you tell me something directly, right? You say this is true or this isn't true, and rarely can they. There's a lot of back double cross speak. So then I'll print what they told me with my own take on it, which, you know, I'm skeptical or I'm dubious, which is what I did, you know, for the wave pool thing, is ran the first rumor, ran the WSL's take on it with my own cockeyed semi disbelief, and then ran the follow up, which is I wasn't right on all of it, but I was right on the major point of Surf Ranch is no longer a viable event space tour stop.
Did the WSL ever confirm that?
No,
so it's still a rumor.
It's still a rumor. Okay. They did not confirm it, but
it's all but confirmed.
I had
a semi-confirmation of, well, you know, dot, 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 from people near the WSL.
It's funny. You say the WSL is great at corporate speak. I feel like they're terrible at corporate speak. They enact it all the time.
They enact it all the time.
But they're not good at it. Because there's other times. Except Eric Logan would be the exception to the rule because we got charmed by him. You know, but the other, right. Everybody else that tries to do it, you're not even charmed by it. You're just confused.
That's, I mean, that's the thing, though, is their mandate of secrecy, I think, I guess, yeah, they're not good at it, but that's what they do all the time. Yes. And their mandate of secrecy, I think, goes against every kind of feeling that they're trying to, you know,
yeah.
to market, right? That it's surfing, it's fun. I mean, what? I did the story yesterday about... So that WSL's media package is up, right? Like, and or they right. they did a deal with Fox and Facebook, and I think both of them are up pre-Olympics, so either up this year or next year. So they're negotiating. And there was a story yesterday in a business journal, or sports business journal, about them being in the perfect position with the Olympics coming up, and with their young, funky, and opinionated audience,
right.
To maximize. You know, their next deal. And the whole thing was so littered with... So, okay, if really, WSL, if you're honestly trying to appeal to a, quote, young, funky, and opinionated audience, all this crazy-ass business speak is none of that stuff, right? Like, yeah. Why can't... I mean, ASP days, you know, of course, I hate to be, you know, looking back with... rose-colored lenses at the ASP days, but it was very clearly kind of funny and out of control. Like, different stuff would happen all the time, and there was never any real successful, at least, attempt to business speak the thing. But the corpo speak that comes out of Santa Monica is mind-blowingly idiotic. It drives me absolutely crazy.
I mean, that's also why the ASP wasn't
sure.
a viable business.
Sure, totally. You know? But I hate it. I hate corpo speak. Maybe more, as much or more than I hate anything else.
You know what it needs?
It's an absolute disaster, their corpo speak.
I think, as we kind of look back on the last couple of years, I think one thing that the WSL is missing is just a visionary leader. There's a number of different people giving little bits of input here and there, but there isn't a vision, you know? And Sophie, as a CEO, isn't that person. But,
I mean, I think there is a vision. The problem is the vision sucks. Like, the vision of the WSL is...
It's cobbled together, though. Like, whose vision is it?
I mean, I think it's probably Dirk Ziff, probably trickles down or trickled up to Dirk that, like, okay, I'm owning professional surfing, right? It probably was clear early-ish on, and maybe it was clear from the start for them, that the tour is not and will never be a moneymaker. But what it can be is a loss leader to promote the surfing lifestyle, right? Which now they're with Elo and the rest of it. They're trying to mark this surfing lifestyle as a thing where the quote from their chief marketing officer, the Backward Finn Beth, the person who came after Backward Finn Beth, I guess, says something about, you know, surfing has this great core fan base, more or less, and always had this great core fan base, you know, and we're expanding that community, the community of, you know, of surfing to people, so people can experience this community, right?
Yeah.
So, obviously, we've talked about on the show a bunch of the WSL's mission and vision to, you know, monetize surfing, not competitive surfing.
Right.
And so, but it's this big safe space of, I think, you know, yoga retreats and happy families. And it's this piece of garbage, I think, what their vision is.
That image isn't a visionary, like, it's not like somebody came in and was like, this is what we're going to be, fire on all cylinders, create the marketing, all that sort of stuff. It's kind of an amalgam of everybody's different ideas, and it changes from year to sure. year as well. They're kind of constantly adapting, which I do like. I like their ability to kind of adapt quickly. But I think a lot of it, I mean, firstly, it's a reflection of things that we talk about on this show. And even you mentioned in that article about Sophie's quote was, you know, the audience is this opinionated, young, blah, blah, blah. It's what Beach Grit is. She was referencing what Beach Grit is, because point at any other surf media outlet, and that's not a accurate representation of those
outlets. There's no opinion. I don't think there's very little opinion out there, exactly. I think.
So it's like what you guys are selling and what you guys are proud of and what you're championing to the everybody else is what Beach Grit is doing or the comments section is doing or whatever. But you're also not supporting us or you're not really empowering us to do our job.
I mean, it's wild. Like, it's funny. I was thinking on the way up here, we didn't talk about it or haven't talked about it yet, but I wanted to ask you, when the WSL rolled out kind of their, I think it was Eric Logan rolled out like the slate of upcoming programming that they're getting involved in. There was a quote suite of podcasts, right?
I saw that.
So they're launching a whole podcast, clearly more than one. It wasn't just going to be WSL. It was going to be a quote suite of podcasts with some podcast company that I never heard of, obviously, but did they reach out or had they reached out to you?
No.
Which is absolutely insane to me is that instead of there's already how many great surfing podcasts are there? I mean, I won't even call this one great, but let's talk. I mean, we have Ain't That Swell. We have, you're one with Scott. There's so many that have been around for a long time.
Yeah.
Instead of creating a quote suite of podcasts with someone from Colorado or wherever it was, wherever that podcast company was, why not for once in your stinking lives, reach out to people actually doing the thing and who have been doing it well and say, hey, we're going to use our platform. If you would, if you would like to be part of this, we have a platform. You have an audience. You're our mouthpiece, more or less. I mean, for surfing, you've been doing it. You've been around for a long time, et cetera, et cetera. Let's figure out a way to partner. But it's wild to me that they don't. And also, I'm just going to get on my soapbox right here and just go. Because so here's the thing. I'll always get from the WSL, when I do something that they think is wrong, and I've heard this week also, which made me so happy, that the WSL sits around. There's regular meetings in Santa Monica in the high tower. Just frustration. Just hand-wringing and head-slapping about Beach Grit. Beach Grit again. Put something out, frustration, regular frustration with Beach Grit. Awesome. So when I do something that's bad enough or they think is bad enough or they think they need to reach out for attraction or reach out and give me a knock, even if what I reported was essentially correct or the rumor was essentially correct, they will always dangle at the end the carrot of, hey man, if you can, like for this last one, the specific was if you retract and you do it sincerely and quickly and honestly, if you retract this, it will go a long way towards helping, us partner in the future. At this point, this carrot has been dangled so often that it's just laughable to me now. Well, fuck your carrot. Like,
there's never been any partnership.
Never once. Never even an attempt. Never even a email or call. The closest, there's been two. The one was when Sophie brought us all up to Surf Ranch, right? Yeah. So there was one attempt to kind of, I guess, break bread. No follow-up, no nothing after that. And then when Elo came on and shot me an email, and I think you an email too, like his early introduction was like, hey, I know that in the past, kind of the core surf media, whatever, has been ignored, and let's fix that. And nothing, so those two times, that's it. I will constantly have the carrot dangled in front of me, like, shape up and we can maybe do something.
Yeah.
And at this point, I'm like, it's almost too late, right? Our audience has grown to the point now where you need us. We don't need you. Like, right. And we're like, I mean, I hate to pound my chest about Beach Grit, but Beach Grit is real, right? It's this real organic thing. It's not manufactured. It's not corpo speak. We make mistakes all day, every day with it just because it's so... Derek and I don't know what we're doing, but we're trying the best we can to build something that is meaningful to people, right? And that reflects the way I feel about surfing and the way Derek feels about surfing. And I think the love we have for surfing, the parts that, I enjoy about it, the parts Derek enjoy about it. And maybe that's not the same for other people. Maybe people get furious about Beach Grit for being too caustic or too catty or whatever the problems people have with Beach Grit. And that's totally fine. But that's what make me laugh about surfing, right? Is the grumpy local, the funny parking lot conversations, the critiques, but then also just the real joy in paddling out and all of it. I feel that the WSL has no native appreciation of surfing. They're trying to build something that they can either sell later or that they can market. There's no heart behind it, really. I mean, I think there's wonderful people who work there who do have heart. Like, I think Pat O'Connell, obviously. Like, and so many characters. You know, Devin Howard. I mean, phenomenal characters who are there in Santa Monica. It just doesn't seem like they're being tapped for, you know, or not at least driving the main thrust of what the WSL is. So again, at this point, fuck the carrot. Like, and or let's partner. WSL, you need Beach Crit, you need this audience. Come and make, or and you need podcasts. Like,
yeah.
Come and make a meaningful, at this point, apologetic. We've tried to do this by ourselves. We've literally tried to recreate the wheel, completely ignoring the voices that have existed in the space for a long time. And we're sorry, and we'll do a better job. Or how can we help you? Like, they need us, I feel. Truly, they need us more than we need them.
Wow, Chaz.
That was a soapbox right there.
You're on a roll, dude. I didn't want to interrupt.
When you're hiring for a small business, you want to find quality professionals that are right for the role, and there's no faster or effective way than through LinkedIn Jobs. Your time and capital are precious, and there is a powerful resource that can help you focus on what you're good at and integrate people into your team seamlessly to help grow your business. LinkedIn Jobs has created the tools to find the right professionals for your team efficiently and for free. LinkedIn isn't just another job board. Everyone is already on LinkedIn with their resumes and references, and now LinkedIn has designed a hiring platform to connect you with candidates specifically qualified for the job that you post about. More than a billion professionals meticulously organized to connect people by skill set to help us all advance our position. 2.5 million businesses already use LinkedIn for hiring, and 86% of small businesses get a qualified candidate within 24 hours. It's that fast, easy to use, and effective. LinkedIn Jobs can help you write job descriptions, filter the right person to you, and give you the tools to help you interview them like a pro. LinkedInJobs.com/surf is where you go to post your job for free. Yes, totally free. That's linkedinjobs.com/surf to post your job for free. Terms and conditions apply.
Hey, it's Kaylee Cuoco for Priceline. Ready to go to your happy place for a happy price? Well, why didn't you say so? Just download the Priceline app right now and save up to 60% on hotels. So whether it's Cousin Kevin's Kazoo concert in Kansas City, go Kevin, or Becky's Bachelorette Bash in Bermuda, you never have to miss a trip ever again. So download the Priceline app today. Your savings are waiting.
Go to your happy place for a happy price. Go to your happy price, Priceline.
Making my job easy this week. I mean, I agree with everything that you've said, but they have folded in people. Like, what they haven't done for you or I, let's say, they haven't given us the carrot. They did give Devin the carrot.
1,000%.
But under their, they're bringing them in to be representatives of the company, basically. So, like, Pat O'Connell, you couldn't get somebody with more salt, you know, to come in and really infuse the real surf kind of culture into the offices.
Fantastic.
But now he is a representative of the WSL. Whereas I feel like what you're saying is, no, let's partner and we'll still be Beach Grit.
Precisely.
But just with access to your guys.
I mean, exactly like, and we are doing, right? We're doing this Rebel for at least one day of the Freshwater Pro. You and I.
Yes.
We'll do
the Rebel. It's not figured out yet, but I am committed.
Okay, I'm committed too. Okay. And so I feel that if we're both committed, then we'll figure out, technically it can't be that hard, right? I mean, we could do it through YouTube. We'll figure out some way to provide a different stream where you can mute the Joe Terpel, etc., and listen to David Lee, Derek Riley, me, whoever else we can drag into the shit show, right?
Yep.
And it may be an utter failure, and we'll come away saying, Joe Terpel and gang, we tip our caps and apologize for every bad word we've ever said. It may be the start of something. Who knows what it'll be, right? We're going to be flying by the seat of our pants. The WSL should have heard this idea and thought, fantastic. We get it. There is a lot of people. Instead of defending Terpel and everything to everybody, they should have said, okay, great. Well, like, you guys should come do it in here. Come sit in the studio. We have everything set up for you. Do whatever you want. put it through your, they're still getting the views on, you know, on whatever, on the Facebook webcast or whatever. Yeah, they still get all those views. It's not like we're going to pirate the stream. We're pirating, or not pirating anything. We're just going to
promoting the stream.
That's all it is.
The entire thing we're doing is meant so that whoever's listening is watching the stream.
Which that, I mean, that's the funny thing is that's all beach cred. And all, you know, half of what we do here is talk about the WSL. Yeah, I am promoting the WSL's product all day, every day.
Yeah.
Like whether they like what I'm saying is whatever, but it's still, we're talking about the WSL. We're talking about their product. All the time.
So, so much of what we discuss here or criticize them for, they end up enacting or stop doing things that we suggest that they should. How much of that do you think is directly related to us, or how much of it is like, how much of it is them listening to the show and, or reading it on Beach Grit and then making those changes internally? Or is it just that you and I are kind of identifying something that is obvious and out in the ether and everybody has the same idea and then they're coming to their own conclusion?
I don't know. I think that it's probably a bit of both, but I think that, like, you know, this show and Beach Grit and, you know, other podcasts too, like that are, I mean, there's so many, that's a crazy thing. I was really frustrated when I read about the suite of podcasts.
Cause were you?
Yeah, I was furious, not for my sake. Like I don't want to be, or I don't think that we should necessarily be involved with that, but I was just thinking of, I mean, there's so many good ones. There's what's the one out, the guys in New York who do it?
Oh yeah, Swell Season.
Swell Season. Yes. Yeah, Swell Season is phenomenal. There's just a lot of great earthy, true, organic, I hate using authentic,
but they are
surf podcasts. They completely,
that's the
are.
Strength of podcasts, is it has to start organically and authentically,
and I have no,
there's no barrier of entry, there's no financial incentive when you get into it,
and it honest to goodness infuriates me that Eric Logan did not have the sense to go out and say, oh, there's great ones out there, let's see if we can bring them in-house.
Yeah, you know, it's funny, I wasn't incensed at all. My general thought whenever I see a new podcast, even the Ock cast, which is terrible, sure. Like, yeah. It, my thought is just the rising tide raises all ships. Right. At this point.
Sure.
Like, it's a growing medium, and there's a lot of people that I talk to, even young people, who don't listen to podcasts. I'll mention it to them, and they're just like, oh, how do I even get that? Is it on my phone? And I have to walk them through it. So my thought is more kind of high-profile entities, whether it's Aki or the WSL, creating awareness for podcasting. Then people get turned onto it and they'll want to find more content and they'll eventually find me. And I think it takes, just from experience, it takes so many reps to get good at it. So yes, they can partner with a company who knows the back end and can get the content out to the masses. But who are they going to hire to interview people?
Obviously.
Like, what's the structure of the show? It's going to be terrible.
But I mean, but
it's going to be awful.
But the lack there, and I guess I'm not furious for the podcasters who've been doing it on a, like, jealousy level, or I mean on a like what kind of level? Like on a pride level or anything. It's just, it's infuriating to me that the WSL thinks so little of existing surf culture that they're probably even, you know, vaguely aware or not even aware enough to say, oh wait, there's a bunch of good ones already. That's, I mean, I yeah. think it's, I think with, particularly with this podcast move that they made,
yeah.
It just shows a utter and complete lack of even awareness to what surfing is, and yeah. a dogmatic sticking to this shit ass vision of corporate whatever it is that they're trying to build, right? Yeah. Which has nothing to do with surfing. I mean, that's a problem, is the WSL's corporatization. I had that one. Corporatization of surfing. I'm no purist. I'm no, you know, everybody's surfing's free, man. Ocean's right. free. Nobody should make money. Great. Make your dang money. But the way they're making it into basically another Silicon Valley shit office, like Facebook or Google or something, that's how it looks and feels.
Yeah.
And it's not authentic. It's not organic. And the audience, that theoretical audience they're trying to build, the quote community that they're trying to build, you know, off of beyond the core surf fan, that person's not going to stick around.
Yeah,
bullshit, man.
Infuriating. I don't disagree.
Well, scales.
We kind of buried the lead, which is Surf Ranch is canceled next year.
Surf Ranch is canceled next year. It is not confirmed from the WSL,
right.
but my sources were absolutely certain it is will not, and you know, from WSL, I kept getting the, well, we haven't released the schedule next year, but I will tell you right here, rumor.
Good.
That, it's off.
And it's overdue.
And it's partially because the surfers hate it.
Partially because we've been harping on it on the show endlessly.
Yep.
Like, honestly, this is the number one thing that I've been harping on is get rid of that. It is so anti what we're actually trying to do. And I love it as a novelty event. I'm fine with it as an – but it should not
– be on tour.
It shouldn't be on tour, firstly. It shouldn't go towards world title points, and it shouldn't be ranked the same as Chopu and Pipe.
The it's really – I thought about it again this morning that the surfers at that event get two practice waves.
Yeah.
They get two practice waves. Yeah. Imagine if you were a high-level competitor in anything and somebody gave you 2 minutes or, you know, okay, hey, you got to, you know, it's the U.S. Open of tennis. You get, hey, guys, everybody gets 2 serves and 2 backhands before you have to play your full first game. Like, the lack of unprofessionality. Why do I keep on using stupid words today?
And the words are getting simpler, too.
I know.
It started with obfuscation, whatever. But and now we're on unprofessional.
The fact that these are professional athletes, right? Like, I mean, I hate calling them athletes, but
they are. I mean,
yeah,
ones who win are
sure. And you get them. You're giving them so little. It makes a mockery. It'd be like, I mean, I could use metaphor or analogies all day long, but yeah, Tour de France, and yeah, you guys get 4 minutes of warm up before you get to do 7 jumping jacks and 2 push-ups, and then get on your bikes and go for 120 miles.
Right.
It's I mean, it mocks that damn Surf Ranch mocks.
But the point of doing it is, if you were at an ocean event, you could go down the beach and surf
precisely
to warm up for your heat. So we need to provide something for them.
I get it. I know, but
you
just can't.
You've already lost the story if you're doing it in a pool.
I mean,
like, now you're just trying to recreate. It is such a square peg in a round hole. Like, you're trying either do it entirely from scratch and new, and just force these guys and girls are athletes who are high. The best ones are trained and attuned. They should be able to just go get their 2 waves and perform on them.
Sure, but also, like, even just warming your muscles up and stuff like that, right? Like, even just getting into the flow of, because it is, the mechanical wave is strange and feels different. And I know now that most of them have ridden it a few times and it doesn't change, so they know what they're doing and all that. But even just getting the reps in, I think would be, if I was a professional athlete, I would expect at least to be able, I would expect at least to have the ability or resources to get myself into peak condition, which they don't.
Stationary
two waves,
bike.
2 waves is nothing, though.
Yeah.
I don't know why they don't. It must be rented out for corpo events all the way up until the freshwater pro, because why wouldn't they open it for the 3 weeks before?
They have in the past.
Pros could come in and slot their times, you know, and you could actually get half a day in the pool or whatever.
I don't know what their policy is this year, but last year they did that.
But I mean, it must just be rented out again, because that was the other part of the story that I heard, was that the Surf Ranch up in Lemoore is actually making money.
Which, that was my understanding that it was. Maybe you could verify these numbers, but from what I've heard over the last year or two, is it costs about $11.5K a day in operating expenses between staff and everything. And then they're renting it for $55K a day.
Yep.
So that's a nice, I mean, obviously you got to pay back. That's not all just, you know, profit.
Sure.
It's all not all net profit. There's a lot of expense to pay back. So that sounds like a gaudy sum, but it's not.
No, but it is a going concern, a money making venture.
That, I mean, that's a real number. Like, you can build the business on that.
Which
that's a viable business.
Which is, I think, why they were frustrated at me for suggesting it was going to be mothballed. And the reason that I was thinking the mothballing made sense was because it was only ever begun as a test facility, and I think tests done right. There's nothing more to test there. They just purchased, or 6 months ago, the old inland wave thing out in Austin, Texas. So now you have a place by a population center that people actually want to go to, right? I figured they would take what they learned from Lemoore. They would keep that. I think they own the property. And so they would keep that there and whatever. But I just thought all focus was going to turn to Austin or shift to Austin, because to me, the Austin one makes sense, where I would imagine, I know they're digging the pool deeper or bigger. That just came out in the news. And so I'm assuming they're going to have the wave sled, which is funny. I think I read in Beach Grit's comments that the sled technology is already outdated.
that's not actually the way of the way of the future.
What's the latest?
I think people think just that the basically what American Wave Machines did in Waco is that's the future of wave pools. That's where you can get enough pools. I mean, I'm sorry, enough waves to make the thing make sense. Where right. Kelly's sled model for a corporate retreat is great, but in terms of a open to the public, you can just never make enough waves with that.
Definitely thing. Not. Yeah.
So they must be doing something in Austin that's going to have a new technology where that has a, you know, soft top wave too. Because I think those soft top waves are the ones that real. That's where you really, you know, punch your ticket when you can get 10 people just splashing around and, you know, oh, caught a wave.
Yeah, the way the Austin one worked was the advanced surfers would be on the open face, but you could ride the whitewash behind the open face and they can get 12 people on that.
Precisely.
Thing. Because the bottom is so much different than Kelly's pool.
So they're going to have to do something like that, I'm sure. And then they just can't throw a Kelly Slater. They can't throw the Lemoore version there
right.
and have it work unless they're just going to do another a second corporate retreat place.
Yeah. The corporate retreat thing, to be honest, might have a lifespan on it.
Sure. I
could see that going out of fashion in five years.
I can't imagine when there's more pools around, yeah. like when the Palm Springs one opens,
right.
you know, the Austin one, when more open in better places, who in the world is going to go to Lemoore? I mean, honest to goodness, Lemoore is a terrible place. Like that,
oh, yeah.
the Central Valley there, Fresno, I mean, Fresno, I guess, might have some charm, but those little towns, Hanford, Lemoore, all those are, I mean, they're just godforsaken. It's terrible.
Dude.
Like, you have industrial farm waste mixed with industrial dairy and cattle waste.
Yeah.
Mixed with, it's just industrial. It's like not, it's not quaint. It's not
ag.
Bucolic.
It's all
pastoral.
Ag.
Yeah. But big ag, though.
Yeah. The funniest, it was the most culturally shocking experience to go, couple of Novembers ago when we got invited to go surf it, to show up at the Tachi Palace, like to load my surfboards in my car, drive inland, get out of the car, and it smells like manure.
It's hot.
I'm on a surf trip. The sun had just gone down. But it's like, okay, this is all very weird. But then walking into the Tachi was so bizarre. And like, I've traveled a bit around the world. This was as culturally foreign to me as going to a different country.
Sure.
Everybody... the Tachi was like the only place to hang out. I forget what night of the week it was, but like if you're going to go out, that's the only place to go out. There's yep. no form of entertainment anywhere else in Lemoore. There's a couple of restaurants and a little main street, but there's no entertainment. So the casino is the spot. And the only other white people I saw were the people coming to surf ranch.
Yep.
And so I saw one other dude and I'm like, oh, he must be here for surf ranch, you know? And then everybody that was walking around had a rice cooker under their arm, which was the funniest detail. I'm like, why is that person carrying a rice cooker? That's weird. Then look right. Oh, that person has a rice cooker. Oh, that person has a rice cooker. Turns out they were giving them away in the casino. Like if you did something,
so
maybe
bizarre.
You gave them your email address or something, you get a rice cooker. It was so crazy.
The whole thing is so bizarre. Yeah. I mean, I completely. And that's why I didn't also feel bad about the mothball thing, because for sure that place is going to get mothballed. Maybe not this year. Maybe, yeah. You know, they're excited about 2020 and beyond is what the yeah. direct or the angry missive that flew down from Santa Monica to me was. But there's no way that place is going to be viable much longer, I don't think.
I couldn't imagine it being.
No.
It was a fun novelty while sure. it lasted. And, like, it blew our minds, but so much of that is worn off.
And once there's more, then, you know, people are just going to start booking their corporate retreat in Palm Springs or wherever else.
Yeah. The just seeing Dane Reynolds, like, there was a weird kind of, I don't know, epiphany I had or something, like seeing Dane Reynolds surf ranch, where it's like, he's not our fallen hero, but like, he's definitely out of fashion at this point. He's like a guy that I loved and I remember like going surfing in the morning and running into a buddy and just being like, dude, did you see that video Dane dropped on Marine Layer last night? Before he was even doing feature length stuff, it would just be like a 2 or 3 minute video. And our minds would be blown by that. And we'd go home and check again, hoping he had posted something else. So somebody like Dane, who's now like raising a family and has kids and a dad bod and all that stuff, seeing him in the wave pool, I was just part of my soul kind of got crushed a little bit, you know? And I forced myself to watch that clip for the full 60 seconds. I didn't actually, the first couple of times it popped up, I just scrolled past feeling a young David crushed inside. And then the third time, I'm like, I'm going to actually see what he does on this wave. And he didn't do anything interesting at all. He surfed it well. He surfs good. But it was just like, wow, I wasted another 60 seconds of my life watching that machine again.
The only thing I think that made me really stop, remember, I think we talked about it last time, Philippe's wave where he had like three airs, air to barrel, something.
Alley-oop, something.
Yeah, that was a fun wave, but that's the last, and I've seen that now. So if he could do that again, and I was like, boring, I've seen it.
Yeah. Yeah, weird time we're living in. So what's your legal obligation if they ask you to print a retraction and the information turns out to be entirely false?
If I wrote something that was entirely false, then I would apologize for it. The problem with them...
But is there any legal ramification for you?
I mean, I'm sure they could try at some point, but I feel that I claimed it as a rumor. I didn't say okay. fact.
Yeah, you know,
I claimed it as a rumor, and my sources were verifiably good. Like, they are people who have the right, or I can reasonably assume, know what they're talking about. And I'm sure... I mean, WCL could probably try to sue Beach Grip, but how would that look? I mean, that would be comedy for days.
Yeah.
I would love that.
Get and they articles out of it.
Oh, sure. And they would know. I mean, I'm sure they know at some level, which is, I'm sure, why there's hand-wringing and head-slapping and frustration in the WSL office, because how do you deal with a problem like Beach Grit for them, right? You come out hard, you look bad. You don't do any... I think they're thing now is try not to do anything, you know, just be frustrated and kind of dangle a carrot every once in a while that there's never any even vague intention of going down the road on. It's not like, oh, we had this plan that was specific. It was just like, hey man. And so these days too, I will call you out again, Eric Logan, right now. Let's do something. Like, if you want to dangle this carrot, then let's do something. I would love to do something with the WSL. It's not that, I mean, I hate their corporate speak. I hate it all. But let's change the narrative. Let's actually, for the first time, involve, for the first time since Dirk Ziff bought this thing, let's involve the core surf community. Let's figure out a way to give them something that they want, that they like. And you guys can still go point the ship at whatever kind of inland, you know, Val community you want. But also recognize that there is a core demographic that you are flat out not serving.
Well, they invited us all individually, like Surf Media, up to Surf Ranch last year for the event. And you went, I went, I put my heart and soul into it and generated a lot of content on the ground, interviewing people, all that. And I feel like they offered me that thing. I took it seriously. They benefited from it for sure. Like, we put out good content. I know you guys wrote about it a bunch too. So it does work.
Yeah.
You know,
I mean, and
include us.
And there's something, there's more things to do. Like, I mean, I don't know off the top of my head. I can't think of one thing right now, but for sure, if they were serious about, okay, we recognize that the problem is with them is I think they genuinely think, because they have Sal Masekela saying, oh, you guys are doing sick stuff or whatever, or Stab every once in a while coming in and saying, oh, you guys do a quality, you know, whatever, it's all good. I think they think that they're actually appealing to the core surf consumer. And so to be told they're not, I think they're like, well, yes, we are. But I'm telling you for a fact, WSL, you do not appeal. Pro surfing appeals to the pro surf consumer. You appeal to the pros. I'm sorry. You appeal. WSL appeals to the core surf consumer in spite of themselves. But I think they appeal to the core surfer because of what they're doing. But
I mean,
absolutely not.
So the day in Tahiti that was pumping, that absolutely appeals to the core surf.
Completely.
Yeah.
Well, they make content that appeals to the core surf consumer, but it's purely in spite, not because.
Right. You mentioned the term safe spaces 20 minutes ago.
Yeah.
Was Sam George's article satire?
It's ridiculous. I really wish that I don't know. I don't think Sam is satirical. I've heard from, particularly from Matt Warshaw, who says Sam George is deadly serious. This stuff is not typically, and Matt didn't, you know, speak to this piece in particular, but before, Matt has said Sam George is deadly serious, right? He is not being satirical. He's not making a parody of Sam George, but it reads as straight parody.
Crazy.
I honestly wish he would get in the comments. Like, I kind of like that he doesn't, because I can tell that he's too proud to get into the comments, right? Like, he feels I'm above the I'm above the line, and I get my soapbox and I say my piece, and then you plebs can go, you know, talk about it down there. I wish he would get in, because I would like to know too if he really actually believes what he's writing.
If it's satirical, it was so spot on. It's
well done.
I would really like him a lot more.
I didn't know who he was. Who was the Beach Crit's resident critic?
Because you.
It might have been Long Tom, though.
I mean, did Long Tom shame William?
I mean, sure. In his recaps.
Oh, he did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep.
Yeah. Why don't you think it was you that he's referencing when he says Beach Crit's resident critic?
Critic. Yeah, I have no idea.
Because you think he would reference you by name?
No, but I feel that Long Tom is also critical.
I think if you just go, who's Beach Grit's critic, it's you. You're the one who's taking the piss out of everything.
It's just, like, irregardless. It's
irregardless.
Irregardless. Whether it's...
Irregardlessly meant...
Yeah, irregardlessly. whether it's Long Tom or me. The idea, his whole point was so laughably misguided.
Oh my God. It was so good. It was so good. But so, do you want to break it down what he... First of all, he never even made a point.
No, there was no point.
It was strictly to talk about him charging Sunset at one point. Yeah. Like, the whole article was about him charging Sunset.
So it's like 2,000 words about a heat that he had where he paddled out at Big Sun. Like, that first, that he's not scared of big waves, right? That he's surfed Big Tahiti, Big whatever. Like, he laundry list of the big waves. I mean, maybe it wasn't Big Tahiti, but it was like, you know, Big Steamer Lane or something, right? Like, he a list of big wave or... times he's been out where it's real big that he doesn't care about, and then he transitioned to, but he was in a heat at Sunset where it was, you know, big enough to make him feel scared. So he, to make a very long story short, didn't paddle or was paddling for the horizon. Somebody in the channel yelled, hey, that wave's not going to break. You got to, or, you know, you can catch that one. It was a big bomb. He tried to turn around and catch it, but he'd already chickened out so much that he was not in position. Came in, lost the heat, and the beach announcer shamed him by saying, in third place or fourth place, whatever, whoever lost the heat, Matt or Sam George, sorry, Sam, no guts, no glory. And then transitioned to how we shouldn't make fun of or shouldn't shame anybody for not going. If you don't have the guts to go, you cannot shame a person for not going.
Basically saying we shouldn't be talking crap about William Cardoso in Tahiti.
Yeah.
Because we wouldn't go, and those waves are big and treacherous, and they are legitimately scary. So if he backed out, he had legitimate reason to back out. And I know, because I did this in Sunset at one point. But what the point that he was making, first of all, who writes the headline? Did he write that?
Derek
would. Okay, so the headline reads, Sam George, post Tahiti Pro. The case for protecting pro surfers from accusations of cowardice. And then the subtitle says, let's make pro surfing a safe space.
Yeah.
So that's Derek?
For sure.
Oh, okay. Because if Sam wrote that, I was like, whoa, dude. Yeah, wait a second. No. But here's my point.
That's Derek twisting the knife a bit.
My point about when I said Sam never made his point, all Sam did was tell a story about him being shamed by an announcer and saying that we shouldn't shame William Cardoso. My thought is, why not?
Yeah.
Like, what... to what end? Like, why shouldn't we shame them? Because what does that do for anybody?
I think,
like, protecting somebody from ridicule when they didn't do their job that they're hired and paid to do, what does that do for anybody?
I mean, Sam deserved to get shamed there, and I hope that he wore his shame, and I hope the next time he was out and ready to scratch over that he used that shame to kick into something.
I mean,
shame, like, it's almost not even worth really talking about. I was going to write a rebuttal, but then the comments were so good on it, and everybody said everything that I was going to say. And we had talked about it the last show, too, is you don't need to be able to do something to be able to talk about something. I mean, it is such a ridiculous, false, you know...
Yeah.
False... What? False analogy. No, false... Really failing in my...
Yeah, being sure. It's being, just wrong-headed.
Being, you know? Being sober is difficult. but yeah, it's just... It doesn't... Yeah, I can talk about whatever I want. I don't need to go do the thing to have an opinion about it and to state my opinion. If people don't like my opinion, they don't have to listen. And or, you know, if somebody shamed me for something I wrote badly, that I knew I wrote badly, something that I really failed on. I mean, we talked about it already. When we got shamed for... Or did we talk about it? All the shame copped for rolling over in front of Elo, well-deserved. I took that. I've internalized it, and I thought, you know, and there was a plan.
You take parts of it.
Sure. And there was a kind of a deeper plan that I had, but I totally understand that how it came across and wear that shame. Like, yes, shame.
The criticism that we received for that only generated more downloads.
Sure. But it's,
and it's the same thing for Sam. It's the same thing for William. It's like more people have said William's name because of that than anything that he's done in the last, well, I guess he won Uluwatu last year, but like it only, use it, let it empower you, leverage it. Like it's, if your feelings, leave your feelings out of it, Sam. Like, you know how many people heard that him getting shamed over the loudspeaker that day in Sunset? I don't know, maybe there were 100 people on the beach.
If that.
How many of them thought about it for 1 second after the fact?
Zero.
None.
Yeah.
And he's carrying this 30 years later, 20 years later, and sympathizing with William.
But again, I mean, and like, shame is good, which was our whole point. And it was our whole point. And again, like we talked about it last time, about being out in the water, right? You're the one in position for the next big set. It's, you don't want it, you know? I mean, I've been there, like, and then I half paddle for it and feel horrible later.
Yeah.
And really, I really try to purpose my life, if I'm going to paddle out anywhere, to be, don't shoulder hop, don't, you know, take the in-betweeners, like go and charge the, you know, I mean, get your set. And because that feeling of shame is worse than the feeling of a wipeout, right?
Yeah.
Or it's the feeling of getting pounded. And so go take your beatings. And, you know, but shame is what pushes, oftentimes is what pushes you beyond your comfort zone.
And criticism has very valuable, you know, it's a valuable thing to incentivize people. And also just to kind of prop up the whole, like, surfing is better with criticism. Professional surfing is better with criticism. Films
better with criticism.
Are better with professional critics writing about them. Music, all food, like all of it.
I mean,
it serves a real purpose.
Criticism is what actually makes things better
or totally.
The next time around.
Totally.
Like, I mean,
and these are valid critiques of William. This isn't just, you know, trying to be rude.
No, and I would love, I mean, honestly, I would respect William so much if he just came out before that Tahiti event or at the next big wave, like if there's a next, you know, at Pipe, if Pipe is pumping and William goes on the beach and just says, I'm not paddling out. Like, I am scared. I wish I wasn't, but I am. And I mean, you know, at that point, he should probably drop off tour, but he may this year anyway, right? Or is he already re-qualified versus
I don't think he is. He's way down.
Yeah.
I haven't checked, but.
Will I end? But but use it. Well, I mean, if he cares, he can use it. If he doesn't care, great. Then just get off tour.
There's no benefit that comes from protecting someone surfing from criticism.
Nope.
Like, there's zero benefit. So Sam's entire premise for the piece was so misguided and just wrong, you know?
But I also so love that Sam George writes for Beach Crit. I mean, I can't wait for the next one.
The fact that he's even interested in doing it is a real feather in the cap.
I cannot wait for the next one.
Yeah. I'm surprised that he continues. Like, he cops a lot of heat in the comments section.
But I think in the same way that, I mean, he must know that, you know, I still got it. That's what he must be thinking is, ooh, I can still get the conversation going.
Yeah, maybe.
He's got to be feeling that.
It sounds like he has enough. Sounds like he has more ego and sensitivity than that.
I heard that he does not drink, but I would really love to buy that man a drink and just have a chat.
You, like, don't drink either.
Yeah, well, I would that day.
Brethren,
but he doesn't.
We should get wrapping up pretty quickly, but did you want to talk at all about the Challenger Series, the changes that the WSL is making on the QS level? Also something we've talked about.
Yeah, exactly. I haven't looked deeply into them, but it seems like the exact right direction to go, right?
Yeah, there's going to be eight 10,000 events, I guess, and then a bunch of lower level.
The only beef I have with it is the quality of waves for those 10,000 is pretty lousy. I mean, they're all pretty rotten places.
It'd be pretty epic, if they put, I don't know. Yeah, good quality waves, obviously, but I don't understand. We already have 10,000s on tour. So is there going to be a tour of surfers just doing 10,000 events? And that lower tier, you have to work your way through and get to maybe the top 10 of that to go on to the 10,000 events?
That was my reading.
Okay.
But the 10,000 events can go down and surf down below, but it seemed like you would have to get some kind of numbers, your numbers good enough to be able to surf a 10,000.
Gotcha.
That it's not just going to, the 10,000 events are not going to be, you know, 150 teats.
Gotcha. You know what it felt like to me? It feels like this Democratic race that we're having right now.
Way too many people.
Yes, dude. Yeah. There's like so many. And I feel like next time it's going to be 100 candidates. Yeah. If we had 25 this time, it's going to be 100 candidates in 4 years from now. And it's become such a cluster where it's like the even like the most capable, talented people are just now stuck in a bunch of white noise where they can't really showcase their talent. You know, like there's legitimate, like, I don't know, I love Matt Banting as a surfer.
Sure.
But it's like he can very easily, or Jack Robinson loses heats all the time on the QS because there's just that many people and there's that much chaos.
Well, and the waves aren't.
Yeah.
That great.
Yeah, I because mean, there's...
By and large.
Because the way the system is, it's like, well, we got to go surf 1 foot Japan, 1 foot Brazil half of the time, and you're liable to lose a heat.
If this is where the whole WSL is going, though, I mean, I'm, again, I get all the criticism for what they did for the Big Wave Surfer, the Big Wave World Tour, by cutting it down to two events and then having a free for them. Where, you know, surfers have to get there on their own dime, where the WSL is going to make content that they sell, you know, clearly, or that they benefit from, you know, on the backs of these surfers who they're no longer paying prize money for, you know, whatever. Like the way that they kind of kneecapped Big Wave Surfers and that thing was rude. But also, who cares? I mean, I care. But the Big Wave Surfers should completely form a union. I think they should organize and refuse to surf unless they're getting, you know, if they're not participating in the money the WSL is making off those things, right?
Interesting.
I mean, for the free surf especially. And there's few enough, but long way around to the point of if the WSL is moving to a slam format, I totally back it, which it feels like this 10,000 point thing is a step in that direction where you have your tour kind of is your sub qualifying thing, and then your big ones are just slams or majors, right, where you have Pipe, Chopu, J-Bay, kick me some more here, France, you have like six. I think you do six slams a year, and then you have the tour, and that way the tour, your development tour, what's it called,
challenger series,
you could actually put it in Good Waves then.
If
you're having the slam thing, because I would watch a Challenger series if it was in Good Waves. I will not watch it at Huntington.
Right.
But I
will watch. Which is one of the spots.
Precisely. But I will watch it at, you know, if it was at Pipeline.
Even something like Snapper.
Sure. I would completely.
Lowers should absolutely be a
Challenger series. How epic would Karamas, Lowers, Snapper, I mean, Stinkin' Bell's a Challenger series.
You would need a wave of consequence on there too. Sure.
Cloudbreak.
Because that's the problem, is guys like William can do well on the QS and then go and not paddle out at Chopu, you know, or not get a wave.
But the slams where everybody can get around, it's only the best, right? There's no noise.
Yeah.
If they did, I mean, how great would it be, again, if the slam was just a one day, you know, best day of the year at Pipeline,
completely.
Best surfers, one day.
Tangentially, I'm wondering too at this point if the WSL is trying to be everything to everyone and kind of dropping the ball in a lot of areas because of it. Like if they just focused on having the best tour for high performance shortboarding, forget about Big Wave, forget about making a bunch of surf videos, you know, documentary style videos, forget about longboarding, you know, would it be a better tour and a better use of their resources?
I still think the best surfer in the water isn't not the one having the most fun, but is the one who can. That's what makes Williams like his poor performance his cowardice at Chopu disturbing, because now I can't even look at him and think he's even in the halfway running to be the best surfer in the world, where that's what makes Gabe, you know, and John and these guys the best surfer in the world, is the fact that they can. And I mean, I think there's a history of this in surfing from, you know, Kelly Slater, Andy Irons, Rabbit Bartholomew, these guys who you have to charge, right? Like, where if it was just about trickeration, that's not a surf tour I want to see. I want to see them charge, and I want to see them surf well, small waves and bigger waves. I don't care if they surf big waves. Like, I don't think if you made them paddle out at Jaws, because that's big wave surfing, I think, is an entirely different. I mean,
but John would go.
Sure, John would go.
Kelly would go.
And that's why John, I think, you know, and Kelly takes them to even the next level, like above Gabe. The day Gabe paddles Jaws, Now we're talking about Gabe. If Gabe paddle jaws, I would regularly, and or Mavericks and or whatever, I would put Gabe up with John and Kelly as, like, you know, in the trinity of surf gods.
I think Gabe would do it tomorrow if it was going to be related to the world title or something he's doing with the WSL.
I have no doubt.
And he would rule it out there.
I wonder if sometimes I don't have any doubt of Gabe's love for surfing, but it seems like guys like Kelly and John, you know, if it's on somewhere, they can't help but be out there.
Totally.
I don't see Gabriel in, like, you know, last minute cloud break run, right? Like, you never see, he does what he does to win at the CT, where I feel John and Kelly love surfing so much that they'll go somewhere even if it screws them on the CT, right? They'll go risk getting injured to snag some epic swell, some weird outer reef somewhere, or some reef pass, just because they love surfing that much.
Yeah, I think that's true about Gabriel and maybe Adriano, but I think it's a little bit different for maybe Felipe and Italo. Like, Felipe and Italo feel like they would just hang out at the beach all day and surf regardless of contest.
Sure. You know?
Trickeration. Is that...
That's
add that to the list.
Trickeration is like, I feel it's like a mid-90s. Some sports broadcaster used Trickeration a
really?
Lot. Yeah. That was like his...
I thought you just made it up.
Nope. That was his signature.
Trickery wasn't good enough?
Nope. It's Trickeration.
Okay. Fair enough. Barrel or Notches?
Yes.
Reality TV. WSL has a bunch of shows slated.
I'm going to say nah.
Okay.
I'm going to say reality TV jumped the shark 5 years ago, 6 years ago, where it's just poorly scripted TV now is all it is, because none of it's actually real. Like, all of the situations people get put in and the way they react in that situation is just as artificial as scripted programming.
Yeah.
And so why not just script something, right? And what the WSL, if WSL was doing an honest to goodness behind the scenes something, I'm interested in that. I'm not interested in
documentary.
Sure. Yeah. I'm interested in a documentary. I'm not interested in quote reality TV, because the whole thing is being produced. It's just a worse version of scripted programming.
What was the pinnacle of reality TV for you?
I think the pinnacle was probably early days Bachelorette. Like,
really?
The Bachelorette number 4, when I was just amazed. Now it's old and boring, but when all those men were vying for the hand of one woman and getting emotional in the hot tub, like hot tubs full of men, of theoretically straight men, just sitting around, that was peak reality for me. Like, Bachelorette season 4 or 5.
Yeah. The worse it was, the better it was.
Precisely. Precisely.
And it was that. So I remember, like, working restaurant jobs in college and stuff and getting home at, like, you know, midnight and putting on E and watching Jessica Simpson's reality show.
Sure.
In the middle of the night and just being dumbfounded, like slack jaw, just like, what?
Yep.
She is so dumb.
Yeah.
And her husband, her like beefcake husband.
Nick Lachey.
Yeah. Just like rolling his eyes, you know, like, oh my God, I married this woman. But it was so entertaining. It was entertaining in the way that fast food is
delicious.
Enjoyable.
Sure.
Just like, I'm going to feel terrible about myself afterwards, but I can't stop.
I feel that, but anything that comes out like that now is just straight up manufactured. It's somebody playing the role of a reality person.
Completely. Like, you're absolutely right about it having jumped the shark. I've stumbled across Real Housewives of whatever, mm-hmm. you know? And it was shocking how clearly produced it was, how set up the scenarios were, and how, like, okay, how do you feel about this person? Okay, like, we're going to go to the dinner, and then you have to ask her about that while you guys are at dinner together. You know, like, it's so evident that it is all scripted, which made it less enjoyable, but it still had some of the empty calories entertainment that are somewhat enjoyable. I mean,
it's the same as watching a soap opera, right? Like, you know, it's just...
Or wrestling.
It's bad TV, but it's still fun. But it just got to the point where it's not even fun to me anymore, that kind really of empty calories. I would way rather watch something else.
That was my thought about the WSL thing is...
What is the reality supposed to show? What's the premise?
We don't know yet.
It's just an untitled,
We know that...
Describe
cameras,
reality.
We know cameras have been following Kelly around for the last year.
So is it going to be
full,
like,
time?
Is it going to be? I mean, that's okay. Like, if it's an HBO style behind the scenes,
but that could be a documentary.
Sure.
And then the one thing that they said about the reality was there was going to be a reality show based out of Surf Ranch. So I don't know if it's for this contest only or if it's based on the people working there dealing with the corporate retreat stuff. I have no idea what the concept is. Oof. But that's what the release said.
I mean, do you think that they would go down the road of like inviting 10 hopefuls to Surf Ranch for a, you know, like film in the Tachi, like the relationships and all that for a chance, you know, to one of the, like, doesn't UFC do something, have a couple reality shows like that?
So that, I forget who it was that I was talking to that explained it to me, but it's now coming back to me. It's like The Ultimate Fighter. Yeah, they're doing exactly. A show that's like The Ultimate Fighter. And I think the working title is The Ultimate Surfer.
Oh my goodness.
Which is the worst title ever.
Oh my goodness.
And it's based off of that template where it's like, get a bunch of surfers together, do a tournament to find out who the best. So maybe that one is done at Surf Ranch.
An awful idea.
Like, it's ultimate, the worst idea.
The times I've tapped into Ultimate Fighter, there's actual stakes. Like, getting the crap beat out of you is the stakes.
Yeah.
For surfing, there's no stakes. I mean, I guess you could say, hey, we're going to give you a place on tour and you're going to have to play somewhere. Yeah. They can't give a place on tour. You have to earn that through points. So what?
Like $100,000 prize at the end or something.
So who cares? Like, so there's no stakes.
You know what I think the biggest misstep is there's not going to be any conflict. Yeah. Like, the reason why The Real Housewives are interesting or The Ultimate Fighter is interesting is because they're out for blood. Like, those women want to be Queen Bee and to have more Instagram followers than the other one, and they will cut a bitch to do it. You know?
And I guess
the same thing with those guys.
Sure.
They'll bash your face in and they'll subvert you in the house. They'll like steal your protein, whatever, so that you can't train adequately. And then that's what they're doing.
Yeah,
the surfers will not do blood. That. No. There's no chance that they'll do that.
Nope.
Whether you're following them around on the CT or manufacturing it by putting them all in a house to surf against each other, it's not going to happen.
No, and if, especially not in the WSL's mandate of making everything a mushy, soft, happy, safe space, cotton candy filled nothingness, right?
So then it just becomes documentary.
It'll be watching pretty dull people doing something that looks sexy, and that'll be it.
Yeah.
Boo. All
right, so we're going on reality TV.
Not even a Kelly Barrel. Nothing.
All right, barrel or nah, tank tops.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, barrel. All day, every day.
The WSL longboard jerseys are tank tops.
Tanky. They are, aren't they? Yep. I was trying to figure that out. Why that French dude who lost his mind is baggy so much, but they're tank tops.
Yep.
Strange.
You're a fan.
Why? Okay. In longboarding, help me understand this. Surfing too, for this matter. What the heck is the point of a singlet? Like, for the QS, I get, because there's so many out there, and the judges may not know and all this kind of stuff. For the CT, every judge knows every one of those guys by style alone. Every surf fan. What? We all know them.
You and I do.
Sure, but like,
you got to play down to the dumbest common denominator.
But they, it's not like they're, it's not football. They don't have helmets on. They could zoom in on their faces. Kelly. There's Kelly now taking the wave, right? There's no point for a singlet. At the QS level, yes. Yeah. But at the CT level, and especially not at the longboard level, there's no point for a jersey.
Yeah.
Zero.
So if you're, I'm going to walk through it. If you're a brand new viewer for the first time turning on surfing and there's a heat with a Kelly Slater versus Gabriel Medina.
They're different people in the water. You see that they're different people. They're not hidden behind anything. They're wearing different things naturally. Right. The camera can go in and look at their face. The camera can slow down. I mean, there's zero point in it. There's no time that the camera is so far back and something's happening that you're even the virgin viewer.
So the virgin viewer who has the volume down and they see a surfer stand up on a wave and they see the scoreboard that says Kelly Slater with this score and Gabriel, and Kelly stands up on the wave, their volume is down. How do they know if that's Kelly or Gabe?
Because they look at the person and they can see the Kelly's face. But they don't know what Kelly, Gabe's, they're a virgin face. Viewer. Sure, they could have Kelly's face, and I mean, same diff, they would know somebody's up and riding even if one's blue and one's white. You know, same difference. I mean, like, you could have Kelly's face and Gabriel's face instead of a blue or white icon, right? Yeah. I mean, there's honestly,
there's very little reason.
At the CT level, I'll say there's zero reason for them to be in singlets. Yeah. Like, unless they thought they were going to sell them, which to me, you would think that the WSL could even, I don't know if they would get, you know, any, obviously they might not get any money from it, but just think how excited the surf brands would be. If they could actually have their guys out in the water in their product that wasn't obscured by a hideous looking singlet.
Well, that's the purpose of the singlet.
To obscure why? Why not?
It's a billboard for the sponsors of the event.
Oh, I guess so. I guess that's
all
why they do it.
All the sponsors' logos are on it.
That's why they do
that's
it.
That's what it is.
Damn it.
Yes.
Well, you found a reason.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, but I'm down with tank tops. Really? I would actually, Devin Howard is listening, I would wear, if he could send me a longboard singlet, I would wear it around town.
I'm
I would
sure
proudly
it's
wear my WSL. Like, I want a competition one, though. I don't want, like, I want, or whatever their fake competition version is.
Dude, where do they all end up?
I have no idea.
Every single event has unique ones.
Yep.
That are only used for one event.
They don't auction them. They don't sell them.
Where the heck do those things go?
Landfill.
Wow.
Straight into the, they dig them into the coral reefs.
They just throw them out in the ocean at the end of the event. They get one of those t-shirt launchers and shoot it out there. Aim for a seal. But you're down with tank tops in your daily wear.
Too. Oh, yeah.
Like, I've seen you rock tank tops before.
1,000%.
Yeah, I'm not down with it.
Get down with it.
No.
Hand dragging. Why not? What do you have against tank tops?
I'm modest.
Really?
Yeah. Got to cover up as much skin as possible.
Man.
Don't want to freak the ladies out.
Feels good. Yeah. Feels good to let it all out.
Yeah, maybe.
Give it a go.
All right.
Put a tank top on.
All right. Try to break my conservative ways.
Yeah.
All right, so barrel on tank tops. Final, barrel or nah? Long hair on a dude.
I'm going to go... This is a hard one.
It is.
I'm going to go... Wow. I'm going to give this one a thoughtful pause. And I'm just going to go barrel. Some guys. Not every guy.
You got to pick one, dude.
It's barrel
or
nah?
All in or all out.
Oh, okay, then I'm all out. If it's in general, no. Some guys do well with long hair. Brad Pitt, ooh, Interview with the Vampire.
Well, I was thinking...
Very fine long hair.
I was thinking when he was Tristan.
Then too.
What was that movie?
In River Runs Through It?
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Sure. Brad Pitt does a mean long hair. But not every man can pull off long hair.
And I would argue more don't than do.
1,000%. I agree. Yeah. That's why it's not a barrel. Yeah. But if you were going to say on some men, if the question was barrel or nah, long hair on some men... I would say barrel.
A wise woman once told me, she was like, dudes with long hair can either be super hot or super creepy, and the answer lies in what kind of shoes they're wearing.
Interesting. Fascinating. What was it? What was a creepy shoe? Like, if it was a long hair and a...
Croc.
A bejeweled cowboy boot or something?
It doesn't have to be that extreme. It's more subtle than that. Like, let's say full white, bulky New Balances.
Okay.
That a dad would wear.
Yep. With long hair.
Like, if you see those shoes and you know the guy has long hair, you don't need to look at his face.
Yeah.
You know.
Creepy.
He works at a video store.
That is an absolute...
Crocs.
That is an astute observation from
that ex-girlfriend. Birkenstocks would be another one.
Yeah.
Creepy.
It's another hippie.
Yeah.
A dirty hippie. What was I going to say? I had something. Oh, how long... What's the longest your hair has ever been?
Shoulder length.
Shoulder length.
Yeah, when I was, like, in 8th grade, 9th grade, like... When I really found my identity as a surfer, discovered the beach, started standing, transitioned off the boogie board onto the surfboard, and like going into high school, and there's jocks and there's studious
and you were a
kids.
Surfer.
I'm like, I'm gonna be the surfer.
Long hair surfer.
Grew my hair out, and then like I saw a photo. I think we had to do school pictures, and I like got those pictures back and saw what I looked like. I had a real coming to terms. Like, well, I think it's time to go to the barber.
Yeah,
that looks ridiculous.
Fantastic.
Yeah. What about you?
Yeah, shoulder, I think.
Yeah.
Shoulder length.
What age?
Oh, it was later, unfortunately. It was probably college-y somewhere. I think I just kept not going to get a haircut, and then it just got down there, and then I was like, uh-oh, and then got a haircut. But yeah, I've had longer hair, through multiple stages of my life.
Have
never
you?
Never down to the shoulders again. That was the one. But yeah, I've gone well below the ears.
That's funny.
Yeah.
You kind of are right now.
Yeah, it's pretty shaggy.
Most of my aesthetic choices for myself, my own appearance, are due to stuff like that, laziness.
Yeah,
it's just completely. Like, oh, I didn't get around to going to the barber.
I won't shave for so often
too.
Because it's such a hassle to shave.
Yeah, me too.
Speaking of, are we going to talk about our new sponsor on
next week?
Oh, sweet.
They're sending product this week,
good.
And once we get the product, then we'll hype them next week.
Excited.
Yeah, it's a good sponsor.
I was thinking, just to tease it a bit, I was thinking when you texted yesterday, is this an okay sponsor? And I was thinking, And then I thought, well, of course it is. We opened this podcast, I feel, all those years ago, talking about grooming.
Talking
about washing hair.
Oh, that's right.
So it's the very DNA of the show. We've just gone away from it.
It's a very organic sponsor in that regard.
Got to come back. Got to come back to our roots.
So I still haven't washed my hair, by the way.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, talking about a Dale Webster thing, I am well into my fifth year of not washing my hair.
Epic. Yeah, you are the Dale Webster, because I've washed mine on and off in between there.
Yeah.
Dale Webster.
Yeah. Pretty proud of it. It's my biggest contribution to surfing because I get so much feedback from listeners.
Did Dale Webster die?
I think he might have.
That's a bummer. He should have went and met Cal Ripken Jr. at some point.
I like the other day when this came up, or last Friday with Derek, we were at Surfing Heritage and Culture Center, and he's like, what, is Dale in the corner? Like, and I didn't say it in my head, but I was like thinking, I had like the visual of him sitting in a rocking chair, like just counting. It's like one.
How good would that be?
2, 3, 4, just endlessly.
They should, if Dale Webster is dead, they honestly should kind of embalm him like they do Lenin in the Soviet Union, and have him in, like, on a board in the Surfing Heritage and Cultural Center.
Definitely.
People can come in and see Dale Webster's Iron Man of Surf.
Where was he? Was he in Oregon or
something? No, it was Central California or NorCal. It was somewhere cold. Okay. It was somewhere cold and small. So I think it was NorCal. I don't think it was Central.
Okay.
Yeah.
What a story, man.
No kidding.
Yeah. All right, Chaz, it's been nice doing this weekly, dude.
Man, we're actually doing it next week, too.
Yeah. With a sponsor and everything.
Wow, exciting. Big days. WSL sponsor.
Well, until next week, Chez.
Get barrel.